Welcome back, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the first episode of Bobby and Becky. And we did, I believe we did come up with a name for our video podcast. It's going to be called Transition, which means...
Oh, you put me on the spot. I mean, it just...
you came up with a name, so...
Change and... But we're talking about change to good things. And that can mean in anything, like, actually, it can refer to birth, which is what we talked about in our introductory video. But it can also mean change the church. We want to see the church transition into who God wants the church to be.
Yeah.
The glorious church that change. He wants to return for.
Change is good. Change is always good. The first change that you need to make is to make sure you change your
underwear.
Yeah, change your underwear. Change your life. You know, accept Jesus as your Savior. That's
right.
The best change you could ever make in your life.
Absolutely.
Totally. Period. So that's the greatest change of all, right there. But we did touch on Grace's, our daughter Grace's birth. On the first show, if you didn't see that, you need to go back and watch that again. Great testimony about God's grace,
yeah.
Grace in our life, and the struggles and all the things that we had to deal with. We're still dealing with. She's over 23 years, almost 24 years old now. But we kind of wanted to touch on some things that are kind of going on in the world today.
As far as why we named it Transition,
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
We named it Transition.
Yeah, just changing our viewpoints. We transitioned from, you know, having a baby in a hospital and going to the doctor when you have a sniffle. We transitioned into doing something else. And so transition can be any area. It can be just change. And today I think we want to talk a little bit about 2020 and what that looked like for us, right?
Yeah, that was 2020 was a year that a lot of people like to forget.
We had to change some things.
We had to change a lot of things in March of 2020, in the middle of March. We were singing out in Oklahoma, and I heard somebody say something about the coronavirus, that things were starting to shut down. And I didn't think much about it, but on our way back home from Oklahoma, I started getting texts and emails and Facebook messages from pastors that churches that I had already booked for 2020 started telling me that we're going to have to reschedule, we're going to have to cancel because we're going to have to shut our church down until this virus stuff is out of the way. And they're saying, you know, it's only going to be a couple weeks and everything will be back to normal. But for now, we're going to have to reschedule because of the unknown. And so I started freaking out a little bit because a lot of y'all know that this is how we make our living. We've been doing this since the beginning of 2008, end of 2007, 2008. And we just strictly, I quit my job. We went strictly on faith, love offerings, selling CDs and stuff like that on the road. And God has blessed us. I'm telling you, He has blessed our socks off. Now, we're not getting rich by no means by singing in churches and taking up love offerings, but He has blessed us. So when that happened, I started freaking out just a little bit because I thought, well, if we can't go out and sing and we can't receive love offerings, we can't sell our merchandise, how are we going to make it through this? And then when I found out it may be a few weeks or even months before things would get back to normal, the churches would start opening up again, I really started freaking out. But then I got a Facebook message, or maybe it was a phone call, from a pastor up in Ohio, a church that we had been to in January before that March when things started shutting down.
But hold on before you say what you did.
What did I do?
We started out doing Facebook Lives at home. We just tore it was actually the dining room. He kept calling it the living room.
Well, I was leading up to that.
We took the dining room table away.
Yeah. Well,
and set everything aside and set a room up, a stage up in the middle of the dining room, which is just over here to my right. And we did several concerts, several live recordings. And I told Bobby, I'm just worried that people are going to see us every night on Facebook and think, there they are again. But it didn't turn out that way because what?
Well, I had gotten a call or an email from this pastor, mm-hmm. and he asked me if we would do a Facebook Live concert on their church Facebook page. And I'm like, how can I do that when we're down here and you're up there? How am I going to be on your Facebook page? And he told me that we will give you the name and password to log into our church Facebook page from your house. And I thought, well, I didn't know you could do that, but yeah, I guess you can. So he did, and we went straight live to their church Facebook page, and they invited people to come and watch from their homes. And it was a great success, and it gave me the idea, what if I ask other pastors if I could do that on their Facebook page?
Hey, can I have your password?
So so I started contacting these pastors, that churches that we had been to before, and even churches that we hadn't been to before. And about half of them said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And they were the same way I was. How can you do that from your house to our page? And I told them, so they would give me the login stuff to log into their page, and we would schedule a night or a day when we would do that. And we went on their Facebook page live,
yeah,
and did, I think, 35 or 40 concerts that way.
And we were hidden from everybody else. We were just, it was a private little concert.
Yep. And anybody could come watch it. I mean, yeah. It didn't have to be their church people.
He invited people.
We would invite people that, anytime. You know, on Facebook, and several people would show up. There was one guy, he's gone on to heaven now, Brother Jerry Benson. He would, every time we would go on and do a live concert from our house to a church,
he was always there.
Page or either our page or whatever, no matter what page we were on, he was always there. He'd always make a comment, I'm watching y'all from Princeton, Kentucky.
Another faithful one was our friend Carol Martin Yoder.
Yep, she was always there too. There were several people that was, they didn't hardly miss any of our live concerts. And so the church would send us an offering, and people would make donations, and people would buy CDs and t-shirts from our website. And I mean, I was going to the mail, I was going to the post office, mailing stuff almost every day, handfuls of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, God, he just opened up the windows in heaven and just blessed our socks off. And, you know, the main thing that I got from that, as far as being blessed like that, was because even though we couldn't go to our church, we watched it online, like a lot of people did, we still sent our tithe and offering in.
Yeah, don't stop tithing, it was no matter what.
It was a sad thing because when things started kind of calming down and churches began to start opening up back up again, I would contact pastors about coming back to sing in their church. And there was a couple of, that told me that they didn't know if they were going to even open the doors back up, because when everything shut down, people stopped giving. They stopped sending their money in or paying offerings or tithe or anything. And that's sad. But there was one time when we first got started doing the live thing from our house, I got an email from a guy up in Michigan, and he has a large family. He's got a bigger family than we do. I think he's
twice
got
as
10,
big.
11, 12, 13, yeah. 14, 15 kids, something like that. But he would also go out. He didn't sing.
He's an author.
He's an author and a speaker. He did mostly homeschool convention things, mm-hmm. and he would go to people's churches and talk about the family and education and stuff like that, homeschool education. And so he sent out an email, and he said that 90% of his income came from those homeschool conventions.
Yeah, and they were canceled.
And they were all canceled. And he was like me. He was like freaking out, wondering, what am I going to do? And so he was asking for donations and people to go buy his book and stuff like that. So I felt like the Lord was telling me, help that family. They were big fans of us. They would come see us.
We're friends.
Been friends for a lot of years. They would come see us and we'd come sing near their home. And so I just felt like we needed to help that family. Even though we needed help ourselves, I felt like God was telling me to help that family. So the first concert we did that was just us doing it on our page, mm-hmm. I said, whatever comes in, I want to give them half of it.
Yeah. We were hoping for $10,000.
I was hoping for that, and I was hoping it wouldn't be $50. So, I mean, I'd be embarrassed to send him $25, but he wouldn't have cared. I mean, anything to help. But I think we ended up taking in about $1,000 that night.
Yeah.
And I sent him a check for I sent him a PayPal in the amount of $500. And, I mean, I know.
Didn't seem like much.
Didn't seem like a whole lot.
For what they needed, but. Hey, it was $500.
But I feel like that because that we were obedient to what God said to do, that in turn, for us blessing them, the Lord just turned around and just blessed our socks off.
God doesn't.
I was running around the house with no socks on because he blessed my socks off so much. No, anyway. But I think, you know, I know that. You know, the Bible says, give and shall be given to you, unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Right.
You know, if you do what the word says, he'll do what he says. Exactly. We do a song. We've been doing this song for about a year now called Land of the Free. I recorded it a long time ago with Mid-South back in 85. And I just felt like it was a great song for the time that we live in, especially today with all the mess going on. And so the scripture that goes along with that song, we have a t-shirt that has that scripture on it. And it says, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. So, you know, that scripture tells us what we need to do. People are always saying, how are we going to get out of this mess? This inflation, these high gas prices, wars and rumors of wars and the woke stuff that's going on and all the mess that's happening, stuff in our country I never thought I'd ever see in my lifetime is happening today. People are wondering, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to make it through this? And it's that what that scripture says, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. And you may say, well, I'm not a wicked person, but there are plenty of people here that are wicked. That's for sure.
You know, we believe that we can repent on behalf of our country. We can stand in the gap, more or less. We can repent on behalf of others.
I just heard a guy we listen to quite a bit. I heard a video today. I heard him talking about they were trying to bring a Planned Parenthood service into Lubbock, Texas. I'd never heard this before. And he said two grandmas stood up and said, we don't want this in our city. Mm. And they went to the town council, the whatever chamber of commerce or whatever, the mayor, and they were voted down. You know, everybody voted, let's have Planned Parenthood here. They just, you know, well, some guy that owned a big business in Lubbock, found out about this. And he contacted those two grandmas and he said, I've got enough resources. I'm going to get you a lawyer and I'm going to back you. Whatever you need, I'm going to back you because I believe in this too. So they had money. They had lawyers. They went back. They fought this thing. And do you know what?
What?
Lubbock does not have a Planned Parenthood Center. It can't be within 50 miles of Lubbock. That was the ruling.
Wow.
Two grandmas. It didn't take, you know, thousands of people. It took two grandmas standing up and saying, I don't want this in my town.
That reminds me of the revival that happened in Scotland, 100 years ago?
I was there. No.
Two grandmas, again, parade. That's how that whole thing started. What's it called? You don't remember, and I probably shouldn't have brought it up.
Well, I was there, but I don't remember. No, wasn't there.
But the revival that happened in Scotland 100 years ago.
Thank God for grandmas.
That's right.
You got to have them grandmas out there.
I want to be one someday.
Well, actually, mamaw. To me, it's mamaw.
Okay.
What was it to you? Grandma?
Grandma.
Grandma. Grandma. You see, Becky came from Michigan.
That's right, I did.
I came from Arkansas. That's why I talk like Andy Griffith. And she talks like what?
Yankee.
Becky Troyer.
A Midwestern.
Midwesterner Yankee.
From Amish land.
I tell everybody that when I was growing up in Arkansas and I was, you know, thinking about dating and who am I going to marry, all that kind of stuff that guys think about, I thought, I'll probably marry somebody from Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, somewhere down the south for sure. But you know what? The Lord has a big old sense of humor. He really does.
Yes, he does.
Because he got me hooked up with a Yankee. I say a Yankee from Michigan. How about that? We met on a blind date.
That's right. We did.
She was the blind one, obviously. 1993 on a blind date, and in January of 1994, we got married in Nashville, Madison, Tennessee.
That's right. Cornerstone Church.
And after 28 plus years, we're still married.
How'd you get there? How'd we get to this subject?
I don't know how we got to that subject, but anyway.
Rabbit trails. So you were talking about 2020 and how God blessed us. And just to say a little bit more about that, from my viewpoint, I was cooking a lot more. Our son helped us with those videos. Landis, he's helping us with these videos, actually. He's here in the room. And he had a girlfriend. They were at the house all the time. And then our daughter Hope had a boyfriend that ate a lot. He was there a lot. And we just had a lot of family time, as most people did, but it was good. And I never want to be insensitive, or I never want to, because I hear of suicide. I hear of children that were mistreated, going hungry. And 2020 was just hell on earth for a lot of people.
It was.
And I don't want to be insensitive to that. But the point of us sharing what we're sharing right now is just to glorify God and say how he blessed us. And we're not the only ones he's blessed and or wants to bless. But we were truly blessed during that time.
We were.
And I like to plan my menu, and I plan it at least 7 days the next week in advance. Sometimes it's 10 days, but boy, I was doing a week in advance, and every day I had some, and I was getting creative, and we had each other, and we paid off some debts.
And that was the incredible thing right there.
It was just incredible.
We paid off like two or three debts that we had been carrying for years through all that. You know, we didn't have the expense, the road expense, the travel expense.
Yeah.
So that saved us some money. We weren't driving back and forth to church, which is about a 40-minute drive for us one way.
We missed it, though.
We definitely missed it. But we were saving, you know, money and gas. We were saving. We weren't going out to eat like we would do on the road.
But I'd say hotel and gas,
hotels,
fuel for the road,
gas, travel. All that stuff. And gas was
the biggest.
A lot cheaper back then, too. Can you imagine if that happened today? It'd save a lot of money on gas. But anyway, the Lord just, he blessed us. He really, really did. And just, it kept us going. It was because of his people. It wasn't just money that fell out of the sky. It came from God's people that also did what God led them to do to help us out.
Yeah, sometimes you just got checks in the mail from churches that they'd send
$400,
$500 and say, the Lord told us to send. It wasn't somebody that we had done a Facebook Live and they were sending an offering. It wasn't like that. It was,
there was a couple of
it
them.
It was just the Lord laid it on their hearts.
A couple of them we had been to in several years, and it just out of the blue, there it was, you know, in the box out there. But we thank everybody that sent in money, that bought stuff off our website, prayed for us, you know, all that stuff. We don't take that lightly. We appreciate it very, very much. And we'd appreciate y'all that are watching right now if y'all would share this video with your friends on Facebook, and maybe they would be encouraged.
We want to encourage from tithing when times are good and when times are bad. We want to encourage people to tithe.
Never stop.
We want to encourage people to spend time with their family. We have a lot of good things to say about that time period. And it was a time of transition for us to get off the road and think differently.
Yep.
And God led that and took care of us.
I was itching to get back out there on the road because I've been doing this, I started almost 40 years ago. I know I don't look that old, I started when I was two. I just told a story. No, actually I just turned 19 and I hit the road with a group called Mid-South Boys. And I spent 15 wonderful years with Mid-South Boys / Mid-South. We became Mid-South when we became men, you know, I tell people that. But wonderful, wonderful time in my life. I got off the road in 97. We all disbanded in 97. I got a real job, like Becky says. I did that for about 6 or 7 years and always wanted to keep singing. You know, I thought I would do it the rest of my life. But God had other plans, other directions for my life. We wanted to start a family. And Becky was working part-time jobs. She was working at our church as a secretary. And she said, when I have kids, I'm not going to be a working mother. I'm going to be a stay-home mother. So I knew that I needed to do something to make some money, more money, because I wasn't making that much money singing. Never did. Still not. But anyway, I knew I had to do something. So I pretty much resigned from Mid-South before we actually got off the road, but and got me a real job.
Yeah, you did that though before we got pregnant with Grace. And
yeah, I did.
That was a decision the band kind of made together
It was about a year before Grace was born, but I knew that if we were going to have kids, I was going to have to do something different. So I did, and let y'all know that. We got real involved in our church. Mm-hmm. Becky was singing in the choir. I sang in the choir for a while. She sang on the worship team. I became the audio guy of a church. We just built a new building. It seated about 3,500 people. We had about 2,500 people on Sundays. So it was a big job, and I was there a lot because we had events, because we had such a big building. We'd rent it out to different places. Dave Ramsey would come. They'd have graduations there, big high school graduations, Diesel College graduations, concerts, just all kinds of stuff going on there. And I'd have to be there to take care of the sound. So I was there quite a bit.
Yeah.
But that calling that was in my life since I was 14 years old, I remember, Lord was calling me to travel. And my desire was always to get on a big old bus and travel all over the United States and sing on just about every stage and every church that I could get in and sing with a gospel group. That was my heart's desire. And the Lord opened up that desire, that opportunity for me just right out of high school. Got on that big old bus with Mid-South Boys. And the rest is history. A lot of y'all know all that happened. But and now, you know, of course, me and my family, we travel together. Been doing this for 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I told y'all when we were telling you we were going to do this show, the commercial, that we were going through Indiana on our way to Michigan. And I just felt like the Lord was impressing upon me to take the whole family and make it a family ministry. And I told Becky what I was thinking, and she said, I'm having the same thought. And then 2 weeks ago, 14 days ago, well, it's been more than that now.
Now, yeah.
But
in the commercial, you said.
In the commercial, I said that.
14 days prior.
That I felt like we should start a video podcast. And she said, I was having that same thought. So how about that?
How about that? Great minds think alike.
Great minds think alike. So that's why we're doing this. And we want to encourage everybody that's watching. And that, you know, you may be going through a tough time. Maybe 2020 was just the worst year of your life. I understand. A lot of people went through bad stuff, went through struggles. A lot of people lost their jobs. They lost the income. I know it was tough for a lot of people. But, you know, when you have the Lord, you have a hope.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have the Lord, you don't have much of a hope at all. So we encourage people to just hang in there. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on giving. Keep on tithing. Mm-hmm. Be faithful to the house of God. Get yourself in a home church. Don't just sit at home and watch Facebook.
Oh, don't do it.
Don't do that. We need to be together.
Yeah.
That's other than receiving ministry from our pastor, the word from our pastor. Another big part of it is the fellowship.
Yeah. It says, Hebrews chapter 10, 25, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching, meaning, you know, as you see times getting worse and the coming of the Lord getting closer, all the more get together, all the more, and encourage each other.
I know someone that many years ago, he got hurt. A church, you know, something happened in a church a couple of times, different churches. He got hurt, got his feelings hurt. He said, I am done with church. I'm not never going back. He would watch Jimmy Swaggart. He would watch T.D. Jakes on TV, and he would send them his tithe. And he was a big giver, too. He gave a lot of money. And he passed away. Well, Jimmy Swaggart and T.D. Jakes didn't come to his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, pretty much see you later, you know. Thanks for your contribution, but we'll see you later. One of those kind of things. But we need to have a church family.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, when crises come up, you need to go to your church family to have them help you through that, help you pray. It's just, plus it's fun.
Yeah.
Church can be fun.
Yeah.
We have a great time. We have a great church. We go to United Church in Gallatin, Tennessee. Our pastor is Pastor Dan Smith. We've known him for 26 or 27 years. We used to sing in a choir together.
Yeah, I was going to say, about as long as we've been married.
He's a great, great man. His wife, Connie. His kids are all living for the Lord. It's awesome. He's a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great band at our church. Great people. I mean, when you walk in there, it's like you've known them all your life. A lot of them we have, not all of our life, but a lot of our life, especially our married life, we've known a lot of those people over the years. But even the people we just met,
mm-hmm.
we feel like we've known them all of our life.
We just
hit it off with everybody. Just you know, you feel at home when you
that's
walk
what I was
in
thinking.
There.
You feel
at home, and that's the way it ought to be. So. We just encourage y'all, find you a good church home, get involved. Don't just sit there and don't meet anybody and just leave. Because if you do that, most of the time you won't come back. You won't go back.
Since you brought up the church, and I know we're wrapping this up here in another minute or two, but you know, we said you would go to the mailbox and there'd be checks. Well, I think twice, I hope it's okay to say this, I think twice during 2020, our pastor just handed us a check.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened if we'd have showed up maybe once a month, once every 6 weeks and said, hey, let's go to church today. We were faithful and we gave, and the church took care of us in our time of need.
Yeah. And even though we do what we do, we travel, we sing in churches every weekend. You know, a lot of singers that I know, they, when they're home, and I used to be this way. I was so dumb, so stupid when I was younger. I would not go to church when I was home.
Yeah, I know why. Because you thought, I'm in church every...
I'm in church Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Why do I want to go to church when I'm home? I'm in church four or five times a week, more than most people. But I needed to get, you know, you can't just keep driving a car and expect the gas never to run out.
Right. When I was a teenager, I was with a family group, my aunt and a couple uncles, and we traveled regionally. And I missed our home church, I think all summer. And it kind of hit me. We came to the realization at the end of the summer. And my mom said to me, okay, let's not let that happen again, because you can minister out, you can give out, but you need to be ministered to. So you need to try to work it out where you get to church yourself.
You got to stop You got to stop at that gas station and get filled up, just like Ronnie Hinson's song, that soul filling station. you gotta get there and get some more gas.
If we had more time, you would sing it for us, but
no, I'd get Ronnie to come sing it.
Oh, okay.
He wrote it, but anyway, hey, we're going to wrap this thing up, but I hope this has encouraged somebody out there that may need to hear this. And that's why we're here, to do these videos, is to be an encouragement. We don't want to come across as, hey, look at us, you know, look at you, you know.
We don't know it all.
We don't. We're still learning, too. So thank y'all so much for watching. And I hope you'll share this, and I hope you'll tune in next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time on Transition with Bobby and Becky. What a great title. We'll see y'all next week. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.